I can't think of a better city to be the poster child for that communism doesn't work for the 21st century than New York City. Bring it on.
I couldn't imagine a better fate than a long and lustrous winter.
If you're going to take a direction that is going to decide things, that's going to be very clear,
Yeah.
and it's going to make people realize consequences of actions, Mamdani is going to do that a lot better than Andrew Cuomo. And Andrew Cuomo was a mass murderer.
So you would have voted for Mamdani and then moved out immediately.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, I would have moved. Of course, I would have moved out. I would be scared for myself. You
But
know,
before you move out, I want to make sure that I let Andrew Cuomo know.
Hey guys, Raf here from the Endgame Investor with this month's edition of the Bitter Endgame Draft with Phil Lowe.
Phil? Hey, Phil? Phil?
Hey guys, Raf here from the Endgame Investor with this month's edition of the Bitter Endgame Draft with Phil Lowe, the man, the legend with the Rumble channel, the Bitter Draft. Link in the description or in a pinned comment, whichever one I choose. Phil, my brain is a little bit fuzzy today, as we've discussed. How's your brain?
Oh, my brain's doing fine.
Okay. Good, good. I'm not overwhelmed, but I'm a little bit edgy from something that we're going to talk about from Zoran Mamdani's win in New York City. And I think you were complaining about some kind of Virginia elections or somebody, right? That you
Yes,
told yeah, you told me that something bad also happened in Virginia. It looks like the socialists are back in their ascendant. I don't necessarily think that Mamdani's election is a bad thing. I mean, it's going to have bad consequences for some people, but it might be an overall good. I'm not sure, but I'll make my case on that later. How are you besides that?
And the attorney general who was running for Virginia had texts where he was talking about killing the opposition leader's children in front of him, like wishing that he said, "I think he will change his point on gun control if I murder his children in front of him." And he accidentally sent that to a Republican congresswoman, state house rep, and then he like didn't even he wasn't like, "Oh, I was just joking." He's like, "No, this is," because she confronted him on it. And he's like, "No, I this is my true belief. I think people need to experience pain before they will change their minds on subjects," which I think you might agree with in the Zoran Mamdani case. I don't
Yeah, I mean,
know.
he's right. I don't think it's such a bad thing in isolation to say that if I kill someone's children, they will change their mind on gun control. It's a hypothetical. I think it's true. It might not be true. It wouldn't change my mind on gun control. It would make me even more liberal on, I can't be any more liberal on gun control
Yeah.
because I'm totally against gun control. But
Anyway, in the broader sense, the Republican Party, you know, the platform that they ran on in 2024 that drove them to great success was a coalition of the MAGA diehards, the MAHA people, and the libertarians. And as soon as they got in, they've at least chased away the libertarians, and they've chased away some of MAHA and some of the mostly people who wanted reforms. I would say the people who want government reforms and the people who want a smaller government. Because it's not possible. If they actually shrank the size of government, the dollar would collapse. So they're doing everything they can to keep the dollar alive. I mean, Donald Trump did not run on saying, it's going to be a tough road, but we're going to get back to a gold standard, have real prosperity on the other side of a lot of pain. What did Donald Trump run on? I'm going to be the candy man. We're going to have immediate prosperity, and you're going to live better than you've ever lived before. So he cannot abandon the system. He has to be the candy man. And I just saw on Twitter he's going to do a $2,000 tariff dividend for all Americans. So. Yeah,
Okay, that means
that just broke over the wire. I'm not even sure if it's true or not, but that's what I
tariff
just.
dividend. That's
Yeah.
so Orwellian. Wow.
Well,
Okay.
because we lost, you know, they got slaughtered in the state elections. So I think the plan is to just throw out a bunch more candy money and hope that people wander back to the Republican side. But you can see, I mean, What are the choices? It's left-wing socialism or right-wing socialism. There's no other choices because the money's fake. So pick your poison.
Yeah, well, I would pick right-wing socialism over left-wing socialism,
Yeah.
but if we're gonna go full retard, as the saying goes.
You went full retard, man. Never go full retard.
Mamdani could be a good thing because, as we know, he's if his policy, it, look, if City Hall can stop him from implementing his policies, I don't know what the breakdown of City Hall is in New York City, who controls what seats, or if Mamdani can just do whatever he wants because everyone's a Democrat. I mean, it could be. It could be that he has enough, at least blue power, to get anything passed.
The only
And
hope would be the neo. I mean, the only hope to stop the communist revolution going in New York City would be the neo-libs, and I don't think they have the stomach.
yeah.
So.
So if New York City is going to go full socialist and Mamdani can do what he says he wants to do, even like 60, 70% of it, the city's going to be destroyed. I mean,
Yeah, if you
it's going to
want to.
look like it's going to look like it was bombed, because the first thing I think that landlords are going to do if there's rent control everywhere is get rid of their properties and sell them as fast as they can. Because
If you want
they're not going to be able to maintain them or fix them or anything. Forget it.
a great historical parallel, look up the Paris Commune. Because in the if you want to look at what happens when a city goes communist, but the rest of the country doesn't, yeah, look up the Paris Commune. In like the 1870s, I think it was, like Paris alone had a communist revolution, and like the state, I think it was Napoleon III, but somebody, whoever the ruler was, like they basically put the city under siege to get the communists out. It was the only way because they were and everything was happening inside was just pure communism.
Really? So there was a communist revolution in 1870 in Paris?
Yes, look up the Paris Commune. I mean, it wasn't like. I mean, I think Marx was still alive and maybe even hadn't finished all his works by that point. So it was, I don't know if they even call themselves communists the way we think of communism. But yes, there
Can you
was a
just tell me more about that? Because I had no idea that was ever a thing.
French revolutionary government seized power in Paris on 18th of March, 1871, and controlled parts of the city until the 28th of May, 1871.
Oh, so it was a violent revolution. It wasn't like they voted the commies into Paris.
Yeah, look, yeah, no, it was during the Franco-Prussian War, which France was losing. So at the time, looks like the Parisians revolted.
Wasn't that the ascendance of what's his name, Bismarck?
Yes.
Right. He was like the pre-Nazi
Yeah,
guy.
yeah, yeah. German unifier guy, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he brought back like German nationalism from, what was it, the Holy Roman Empire had collapsed in 1807, if I remember correctly. And he was the
Yeah.
second. Okay.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good, Rafi.
Yeah, I don't know. Some dates just like stick into your head. Also, the Spanish Armada, 1588, I remember because of a certain movie.
Spanish Armada. 1588.
That is correct.
It's pretty gross.
Anyway. So if you want a good idea, now there was that was the Paris Commune was a revolution. I mean, it was during a wartime and stuff and a violent revolution. But socialism does the same thing every single time. So, I fully ex we talked about this before. Like you could buy an ounce of you could buy a house for 100 ounces of silver in Weimar Republic. There's a reason for that, because when you bought that house for 100 ounces of silver, when you went into the house and you
Not
looked around
100,
and
oh,
you
100 ounces of
surrounding,
silver, right?
yeah,
Right. I think
100
he said
ounces of
100
silver.
ounces ago. 100 ounces of silver. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
Keep
100 ounces
going.
of silver. When you bought this house and you walked into your new palatial estate on the riverfront of Berlin and you opened the curtains, you would see Ernst Röhm and his stormtroopers having a street battle with the Bolsheviks right outside. So close the curtain. So, mom, it's
Okay.
going to be the same thing. When you buy the river, when you buy the penthouse apartment in Manhattan with the view of Central Park, when you open the window, you're going to see people eating the squirrels in Central Park, and you're going to see like Mamdani's Youth Revolutionary Guard parading around with red flags, doing pillaging, whatever they're trying to do. And you're gonna the bet is that this is not gonna last. I think it's a good bet. I don't think we're gonna have nationwide communism. I think the Americans, especially in America, maybe I can't speak for every country, but especially in America, there's a good more than half of the country that is not interested in communism. Even the left-leaning guys are not interested in communism, and everybody's armed. So it's not gonna happen.
So
But
that's why I
that
say
doesn't
this is a
mean.
good test case, because if we're going to make people, every generation needs a reminder that communism doesn't work, that socialism doesn't work. Every generation needs that reminder, because we can't pass down this Torah every generation with everybody sticking to it. People regress back into stupidity very, very quickly. So I can't think of a better city to be the poster child for that communism doesn't work for the 21st century than New York City. Bring it on. I mean,
You're making a bet that you're going to get that, like the when you buy the house for 100 ounces of silver, it's because no one wants it. You're making a bet that the situation is going to pull out of the tailspin. Is it a good bet? I think so. Now, when you bought the house in Berlin, in Weimar Berlin in 1923, it was probably bombed to smithereens by 1945. So maybe, depending upon your time scale, maybe that wasn't a good buy. I don't know.
Well,
So, but I don't think that'll happen in New York.
okay, so I wanted to share this. A Swedish economist and a socialist, mind you, named Assar Lindbeck. He says, so in this paragraph here, this is from adamsmith.org. I just Googled it and I was looking for this quote because I remembered it was a quote. Myrdal said, rent control has, in certain Western countries, constituted maybe the worst example of poor planning by governments lacking courage and vision. His fellow Swedish economist and socialist, Assar Lindbeck, asserted, in many cases, rent control appears to be the most efficient technique presently known to destroy a city, except for bombing. There's a whole exhibit of these sorts of pictures of, and I couldn't find them, but I found this example. This is just one example of rent control in the Bronx in the 1970s, New York City, 1977. Right, so here it says, take a look at these two photos. One of these is Warsaw in 1945, the most severely destroyed city in Europe from World War II. The other shows a neighborhood in the South Bronx of New York City in 1977. Which one is which? Read to the end for the answer.
I'm going to
Okay.
guess the one on the right is the Bronx, strangely enough.
No, the one in the left has to be the Bronx because there's English on it.
Oh, you got me. You got me. But still, that's amazing. I mean, that looks like a war ravaged city. That's crazy.
It is a war ravaged. That's what rent control does. That's just one thing. So if we see New York City pretty much bombed out because Mamdani what does he want? He wants rent control over every building? What's his
He
plan, you
wants
know?
public grocery stores, so the government will
Okay.
take care of the grocery stores. Rent control and free buses is what he has promised so far.
Rent control all over? Like, or is it limited?
I think we just said I think he just said rent control. I don't know.
Okay. I mean, we'll find the tighter it is, the worse things are going to be. And businesses, of course, are going to move out fast if they're already starting to do
I
that.
would. I would leave immediately.
Yeah. And if you are a landlord, there's no, and you can't raise your rent, you can't afford repairs and upkeep. So it's going to destroy the buildings. And what's free grocery stores? What are those going to do? What do you think?
Initially, they will probably because the city can subsidize it, they'll probably have price undercuts over the private ones and drive all the private grocery stores out of business. But they'll be, people will flock to this if they actually get this up and running. I'm not guaranteeing they will. People will swarm the subsidized grocery stores, and the city will run out of money, and then there won't be any grocery stores at all.
I would be scared to shop at a free grocery store. Wait, what is it? Free grocery store? Like, is it free food? What
No.
is it?
It'll be lower prices if they actually, because it'll be subsidized through the city taxpayer. The plan is to
Okay.
tax the millionaires and the billionaires, and then force them to pay for the cheaper food for everybody else, or borrow the
Okay.
money. Borrow a bunch of money or
Okay,
dollars.
so then there will be shortages at those stores because the price is below the market clearing price. People won't be able to get what they want when they shop there. And if you want to get food that of better quality, you'll have to go to the private one. So maybe they won't succeed. Maybe it'll just be a big
If
waste of
they're
money and they'll fail
subsidized
anyway.
enough, if they're subsidized enough, then they can do it, but the cost will be whoever's doing the subsidizing. So it could work. I mean, it could work and drive out the private grocery stores if the subsidies are high enough that they can buy the food and then offer it. They'll have to offer it below what they're paying for it, I would think, below profitability. So I mean, you're just, like I said, this is madness.
Madness.
This is Sparta!
It will be Spartan. That is true.
Yes. Yes. What? Okay. Hold on. If we just take this basic logic and build it out, you have public schools and you have private schools. Public schools, they get worse and worse every generation. And they create people who are either stupid, they have no executive function, even if they have the ability to become intelligent. They become NPCs. Very, very few of them are independent thinkers, and they don't know anything. And public schools still, private schools still exist, but they cost a lot more. But if you want your kid to be educated, you'll send your kid to a private school. You know, maybe there's a, you know, a few good public schools out there, but I wouldn't count on it. So the same pattern would happen with public grocery stores. If you want good food, you'll have to go to the private grocery store, or you can get slop at the public grocery store, and you won't be able to find what you need anyway. And people should be pretty angry, and then they'll say, oh, they're not funded enough, and they'll have to send more money to the public grocery stores, and it'll just be money being flushed down the toilet.
I don't disagree with you there.
Okay, so let mom Dani be the sacrificial lamb for communism that everyone can remember in this generation. Communism doesn't work. Look at New York City in 2025. Look what happened. You think about the choice of like Andrew Cuomo. If I lived in New York City, I think I would probably have voted Mamdani for that reason.
Really?
Yeah, not because I obviously not because I think any of his policies are good, but I would have voted for him because if you're going to take a direction that is going to decide things, that's going to be very clear, and it's going to make people realize consequences of actions, Mamdani's going to do a lot better than Andrew Cuomo. And Andrew Cuomo was a mass murderer.
So you would have voted for Mamdani and then moved out immediately?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, I would have moved. Of course I would have moved out. I would be scared for myself.
You but know, before you move out, I want to make sure that I let Andrew Cuomo know.
Yeah. No, but Andrew Cuomo is so much more unlikable. He's so disgusting.
Aaron's so oily.
I think Trump, I heard Trump's endorsement, and I thought it was very wise what he did, because he's like, well, you know, Cuomo, Mamdani, I'd rather a Democrat than a communist, but what's the difference? He was very nonchalant about it. Lukewarm about it. And I get it, because now it's great for Trump, because now he can point to it and say, look what the left is doing. That's his best card that he always plays. So
do you think we'll have better politicians on a gold standard, or is it just politics is innately so corrupting that you just get Andrew Cuomo's no matter what?
Will you get better politicians on a gold standard? Well, think of it this way. If you have a finite amount of money and no ability to inflate, then
it's less important.
You can't. It's less important. But also, you get people who actually have a mind for what a budget is, right? And they have a more of a grasp on reality. You know, politicians now, you get voted in for promising more because you can always promise more and print more money. But if you can't, then that's like a brain drug that will be weaned off of people when they realize that there are only a certain amount of resources. I think if you look at Argentina and Milei, his mantra that helped get him elected was, we're out of money.
Yeah.
There's no what was it in Spanish? I don't remember. But he's like,
no, hey, Mata.
Yeah, he's no, like, hey, basically, we don't have any money. I have nothing to give you. All I have is the truth, and we're broke, and that's it. And he won. And I think they were saying that he got hurt in some kind of local election recently, but he stormed back, and now he's got the momentum again. So once society is hit with reality, a lot of the crazy thinking kind of washes away, which I think is partly what's going to happen in New York City. How long has he been the mayor for? 4 years or 6 years, or what is it? What's his term?
I think it's 5 years, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. Wow.
I'd have to look it up.
Well, he's going to be the end game mayor for New York City, that's for sure. That's the thing I wasn't even considering, even though I knew it was coming. But he's going to be the end game mayor. The dollar's going to run out when he's in the middle of his communist policies. It's going to be fun for him, you know? Okay. Yeah, he's also a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. Let's not forget that.
A lot of Jews voted for him, though.
I know. I know. Jews are a problem. No, left-wing Jews are a serious problem. That's if you don't like Jews, I understand why. You should really like libertarian Jews. There aren't many of those, but those are the important people that can really get
Those
things moving,
Mises and
like
Rothbard.
and Peter Schiff and those kinds of people, right? Those are the people that can really, first of all, lower anti-Semitism. You were telling me about Nick Fuentes, who he scares me, but I understand why he exists. And he was a big Ron Paul fan in 2012, and so was I. I mean, I could have been working with him indirectly. I did some help for the Ron Paul 2012 campaign. Peter Schiff was in the Ron Paul 2012 campaign. A lot of libertarian Jews were. And because America did not take the path of Ron Paul, I think that was like the last stop to be able to deflate without catastrophic consequences. It would have been very, very difficult, and it would have been bad. Bad meaning good, but very di very difficult.
It would have
But
been a deep crash, but now it's going to be
it
a
would have been possible.
catastrophic
Now
crash.
it'd be catastrophic. So we could have saved Nick Fuentes from becoming a serious anti-Semite, but that wasn't to be. And so now the left-wing Jews will get blamed for it, and for good reason. I'm going to take the consequences. There's nothing I can do about it now.
Oh, well, on that front, you want to move on to public choice theory?
Yes, let's do it.
All right. So my alma mater, George Mason, is a very libertarian, at least it was. I checked in maybe before COVID or during COVID, and like the new university president was super woke. So I don't know if the economics department survived that. I have no idea. I'm not up to date very much. But when I was there, they were very libertarian, and they taught the Austrian school in the economics department, and one of their focuses was public choice theory. And the way public choice theory works is the common misunderstanding that most people have of government workers and politicians, but especially government bureaucrats, is that they are cold, boring, purely driven by being fair judges of what is right and wrong, and applying that as safeguards of the state and the marketplace, right? So, like the people working at the Federal Reserve, all they care about is making sure that the America's a fair and industrious and prosperous society. And maybe they're not perfect, but they're doing the best they can. And the people at the EPA are trying to fairly and correctly balance the needs of protecting the wildlife with the needs to build on some land and have industrial output and commercial output, right? So, and that they're fair, they're impartisan, nonpartisan bureaucrats who are, just trying to make the world a better place through their nonpartisanness, right? Public choice theory goes into great detail about how this is not an accurate description at all. The humans are, rationally self-interested creatures. That's what we are. We are trying to make our personal lives as good as possible, and we look through the, we everything we do, we look through that lens. We're trying to make our personal lives better. And the marketplace allows us to do it by trading with each other to make everyone's lives better through the trade. When you go into the government, you start engaging what's called rent seeking. So you are simply trying to, there's a pile of money on the table, and you're simply going to try and accumulate as much money, much of that money and power. There's money and power on the table. You're going to try and accumulate as much as possible for your pet project, as it were. So, for example, if you are in the EPA, and you have been tasked, you're put in the task to protect the yellow-bellied sapsucker, a little bird. I don't even think it's endangered, but we'll say it is for the sake of this. And the yellow-bellied sapsucker lays its nests in wetlands. That's just where it does. It finds some wet area near some water, and it lays its eggs there. And now some farmers in the Pacific Northwest, they're cattle ranchers, and they dig holes in the ground so that their cow, when it rains, those holes will fill with water, and the cows, they have drink, it's drinking holes. It's just drinking holes, right? They on their own private land, their own private land that they bought, that they own, they dig holes in the ground and it rains, and the cows come and drink out of those holes. Some yellow-bellied sapsuckers start laying their nests next to these watering holes, and then the EPA agent drives up and he says, these are wetlands. These are protected wetlands. This is now federal land. I'm seizing it, and I'm confiscating this land, and you get no compensation. What, whatever. I'm exerting executive power through the president himself. He has vested me with the protection, the power to protect the yellow-bellied sapsucker against all other considerations. Right? It doesn't matter. I didn't weigh anything. I have the simple task in front of me of save the yellow-bellied sapsucker. So my goal is to maximize yellow-bellied sapsuckers in the world, and I will do whatever it takes to maximize them. Not to mention, I now have power, right? And I now have a budget. So I've been given a budget. I've found a bunch more yellow-bellied sapsuckers. I need a much bigger budget. I need a bigger desk. I need a bigger office. I need a company car to drive out to check on the yellow-bellied sapsuckers. Oh, and I need retirement and I need medical care, right? So you end up with this giant bureaucracy harassing farmers. And you know what? You built some new holes. Those might have yellow-bellied sapsuckers. So I better confiscate those too, because a yellow-bellied sapsucker might show up there, right? So this entire government bureaucracy is there to harass farmers on their own land who are minding their own business. That's a
Right,
perfect
this
example.
is exactly what just happened with that ostrich farm. All right, there was an ostrich farm in British Columbia. It was such a disgusting, sad story. They just kill these healthy ostriches because in order to stop plague that doesn't exist, they have to cull all the ostriches because they were once in, maybe infected with bird flu, which they have recovered from. And again, when you recover from a virus, you have immunity to it, and that stops the virus from spreading. But nobody, but like. This is it's basic logic. It's logic that we all understood until 2020, until nobody understood it anymore, and now we understand it again until there's another case where it just doesn't apply anymore because you have bureaucrats with one objective to kill ostriches to save us for all from bird flu when that doesn't even make any sense, and they just want to exercise the small amount of power that they have. There's nothing scarier than a low-level bureaucrat that has one power and he has to keep pushing that button because otherwise his life is, not, it's
Yeah.
pointless.
Additionally, there's what's known as regulatory capture. So this is another wrinkle into this. So if you're in the, if for example, if you're a government bureaucrat and your job is to moderate oil production in the United States, to make sure that it doesn't, affect the yellow-bellied sapsucker, for example, who most people don't know very much about oil drilling. Who knows a lot about oil drilling? Oil company at workers, right? So the oil company will send a work, or the oil company worker will go get a job with the bureaucracy whose job it is to regulate the oil industry, and he will do whatever the oil industry wants. He will sign off anything they want because he knows, and it's un I think it's on it might be there might be an email or a letter somewhere, or it might be just be a handshake deal in a bar. We don't know, but he knows when he leaves his government job. A very, very cushy oil company. He'll be on the board. He'll be paying $60,000 a month, whatever, right? Because he got them the permits they needed. So the industry will buy their way into whatever regulations they need. And the effect of this is that it protects big companies against small rivals, because the smaller companies don't have the capital to bribe politicians the way the larger companies do, so they can't get into it. So regulatory capture ends up stifling competition, and you end up with these giant monopolies that control absolutely everything.
Yeah, it gets worse. It gets worse. I mean, the worst instance of regulatory capture we've ever seen was, I don't think this is even arguable. I think it's 100%. It was COVID. That's what it was. It was this huge instance of regulatory capture that began decades ago with pharma, right? They put people in the FDA. They groom people in the FDA. Some of it is even subconscious. Not a lot of them don't even realize that they're being groomed, but they come up with the conclusions that pharma wants them to come up with, and they're the ones who create the legislation, like the 1986. I forgot what the act was called, but it was passed in 1986 that made vaccine harms unable to be sued in regular court. Right? And the anything that's on the childhood schedule, now you cannot sue the companies for any damages at all. You know, they're even these vaccine courts, they're even higher than the Supreme Court because the Supreme Court can't even address them. Right?
That's
That
amazing.
that's how sick it is. And so that's how they're rushing to put everything on the childhood schedule that they can, because once they put it there, it doesn't even matter how safe it is or whatever, you can't get sued. So, and they did this with like the godfather of vaccinology, what's his name, Plotkin, right? He's been paid so many times, so many multi-millions of dollars by pharma companies to promote vaccines sold by Merck and all these other drug peddlers, but that's how it works, and it ends with billions of people being injected by force with a product that it is probably going to hurt them significantly, permanently. That's how
Yeah,
bad it is.
and the problem, I mean, the problem with all of this is that there's no market forces inside the agencies themselves. I mean, how can you, there's no market force to say what is the correct number of yellow-bellied sapsuckers that should be existing with regards to, you know, as opposed to cattle farms, right? There's no market force at all. You're just given a simple instruction set saying go save the yellow-bellied sapsucker, and no other considerations are necessary, right? So, you know, when you take away the market forces and you allow for regulatory capture, you end up with the worst outcomes you can imagine, which is what we're having right now. Now, the good news, I think you will agree with me. I think the governments are all going to collapse by 95 to 99% in this crash. They're gonna, when we end up back in a gold standard, all this regulatory stuff is just going to go away. You know, they won't have the budget to keep it going anymore. So, then we will let the market forces decide what the correct number of yellow-bellied sapsuckers will be.
But there's going to be an intermittent time of chaos in between there, which I'm starting to get, I'm usually positive about this, but the
Yeah.
developments in America, I'll probably become positive again after this initial shock of Mamdani, even though I would have voted for
Yeah.
him, has has passed. I mean, I can say, well, at least we don't have Andrew Cuomo. At least his career is over. That's encouraging.
Mean, like, yeah, that was their choice. I mean, the choice was Mamdani, Andrew Cuomo, or like Curtis Sliwa was kind of a weirdo.
Yeah.
I don't know much about him. I mean, what I saw about him, I didn't dislike, but he's always wearing like a military beret. It's kind of weird.
Wait, you wanted to talk about Virginia and the resurgence of the Democrats. You
Oh,
had some
sure. Well,
concerns about
just
that,
real
yeah.
quick. I mean, it's back to the first topic we had. So just real quick, the Republicans thought that they were going to get the AG at least over the top. And they thought that the governor candidate, you know, projected to lose maybe 6%, and the LG similar. The governor candidate lost by like 15%. I mean, got blown out of the water. It was clearly the candidates who supported the Trump reform agenda in 24 did not show up at all in 2025. I think the, you know, and it was, I, you know, other people have said, I think it was absolutely a referendum on the national policies, because what were they promised? They were promised DOGE. They were promised release of the Epstein files. You know, they were promised all these things that aren't, what are we getting now? And no more foreign wars. And so far we've gotten more you know, we're bombing Venezuela. We're talking about invading Nigeria. You know who's in Nigeria right now? Victoria Nuland.
Oh, God.
Yeah, she was in Nigeria right when Trump was tweeting, "We're gonna bomb Nigeria, or we're gonna like go invade Nigeria to save the Christians from the Muslims there." And I was like, "Wow, that she is a spider."
Oh, you think Victoria Nuland was involved in getting Trump
Absolutely.
to
I mean,
did
I don't think consciously, because I don't think he likes her. Like, I don't know. Maybe she's back in the game. I don't know. But I think she at least has some sort of soft pull where she can talk to people who are still in the departments. So let's hope on the gold standard we avoid this in the future.
Yeah, the rebuild's going to be interesting. I just yeah, you can see my brain isn't working very well today, but
That's all right. We can call it here. I think we discussed well. We did a good job.
All right, Phil. Next month, hopefully the end game will be here already because I think we're running out of time.
Oh, I think it's here. Yeah, I think we're real close.
Yeah.
I wake up. Do you wake up every day wondering is today the day? Because I do. I wake up every single day being like, well, is today going to be the day it crunches?
No, I wake up every month saying, is this going to be the month, though?
Okay. All
So
right. Well, we'll
maybe
find out soon enough.
maybe
So someday
November.
we'll be right.
Yeah, someday soon. You're at session. All
Care,
right,
man.
bye.